In your face. I am joined by Gary White from HAG, Housing for the Aged Action Group, who are having a bingo for housing justice event next Thursday. Gary, welcome to 3CR.
Thank you, James. Great to be here.
It's a really great event because it's a light-hearted way to raise awareness of the housing challenges faced by older queer people and also, of course, harnesses intergenerational connections as well. Tell us about some of the issues that older LGBTIQA plus folks deal with in housing.
Okay, very, very quickly. 43, at HAG, we've done quite a few surveys of our community, older people in our community around their housing, and it turns out that at least 43% of our older members of our community have been homeless or at risk of homelessness at least once in their lifetime.
Wow, that's a shocking statistic, isn't it?
Yep, very much so. And when the surveys were actually conducted on the day, 11% were at risk or were homeless at that point in time.
And that just must be going up in the current climate with the incredibly precarious housing situation and rents just going through the roof.
Exactly right. And private rent, and for older LGBTQIA plus people, paying private rental when there's usually only just a single person in the household. Our community is six times more likely to be living alone than the heteronormative community, which puts stress on rent, stress on housing. A lot of the older members of our community didn't have the luxury of the superannuation that generations preceding us had. We missed out on it starting from the beginning.
People must be paying so much of a percentage of their income on rent that they're trapped in their homes.
They very much are. I actually do have a personal friend and he's paying just on $1,000 a fortnight by himself on a pension.
So, apart from the fact that people can't live, I mean, that's like, how much of your pension is that?
Close to all of it.
So
I think he ends up with about $200 left over out of his pension income. He is in a position where he has other capital behind him, but he's living off that, and it's not going to last forever.
And as you say, some people don't have that capital. But then when you pay bills, like your gas and your water...
Yep.
People obviously have to make that choice between food and bills sometimes.
They do. They do.
So the mental health impacts of that must be ginormous.
Absolutely huge. And one of the other problems for the older members of our community, because of what we've lived through, we were psychiatric cases. We were criminals. We faced institutionalized government discrimination. We faced society's put-downs. That's where we've come from as an older generation. We've lived through it. We've hopefully grown through it. But guess what? We're still here. But the things that draw upon that and what we've lived through, for some people, it's really, really difficult to cast aside their life.
Absolutely. I mean, people were adults when their sexuality was criminalized.
Yep.
And the impacts of that don't go away with decriminalization.
They don't. And with what we do at HAG, we're a reference referral organization. Unfortunately, we don't have a housing of our own to give out, but we do refer to specific organizations who can assist. And in order to make a safe referral for members of our community, it's really, really important for our community to actually come out, for want of a better term, to actually self-report that they are an LGBTQIA plus member. Because if they don't, the referrers and the people who are going to be walking them through the next steps aren't going to know whether a placement or a referral is going to be safe for them. We've lived a life for a lot of older people in our community. Silence equaled safety.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean, you know, I mean, look, when the 78ers happened for Mardi Gras, their names and addresses were published in the Sydney Morning Herald. So folks of that era were clearly programmed not to be out because it could make you homeless. So to actually think that, you know, coming out can assist with your housing isn't necessarily an easy way to program yourself.
No, it's very, it isn't. And look, the more you build a relationship with the people at Haag who actually are walking, and see what we do, we take the person and we walk them through all the steps that are needed. We just don't say, I'll go over to that organisation, they'll fix you. The workers there will actually take you by the hand, basically, and walk you through step by step by step at your own pace. So you're not being pushed anywhere, you're not being thrown anywhere, you're being gently guided.
That is a specialist skill. You guys must have specialist training at Haag.
The workers do. I'm a volunteer at Haag. I sit on the LGBTQI plus reference group, and I'm also actually a member of the Haag Committee of Management.
So what's the journey that got you there?
The journey that got me there was I ended up at Haag because during the last period of COVID, I had an opportunity. I'm also on the board for a rental housing co-op, and there was a homelessness conference in Melbourne, which my co-op sent me to, and I actually heard Andrew, and I've lost his name, Andrew from who
Rainbows
does
Don't Fade with Age.
That's right. He was on the reference group at that stage. I heard him do a presentation which reported the our surveys, reports and everything else. And I went, yes, that sounds like a nice fit for me. Went up and said, do you have volunteers? And within about 4 weeks, I found myself on the reference group. I started off very, very low key because I couldn't get out much because I was also caring for my late husband at the time. So I couldn't actually physically get to meetings and put in the time that I had, or the time that I would like to have put into it, because we couldn't, respite and everything else just wouldn't fall into place. So eventually, when I had more free time, I was able to throw myself in, feet and all, so to speak.
And it sounds like a great community.
It really is a great community. We get along really well. Haag has been specifically looking after the LGBTQIA plus community since 2019.
Fantastic. Wow.
We are Rainbow Tick accredited, and we've also gone through one re-evaluation. So it's something that's not just a flash in the pan there. All minority groups, all marginalised communities are actually written into the organisation. We're member-based, and it's the members who elect the committee. And yeah, it's just a great place to be.
And wonderful you do have that rainbow tick. I mean, when you were talking about, you know, steering people through the kind of, you know, housing process, I thought, got to be rainbow tick accredited. That just sounds so rainbow tick. What can you tell us about rainbow tick?
Okay, rainbow tick accreditation is given to organisations who actually apply for it. It's a national accreditation process done by independent accreditors. You just don't say, oh, look, aren't we good? This is what we do. You actually have to go through the whole process of proper accreditation coming in. They come in, they look at the organisation, their core values, their mission statements, their policies, their procedures, the language that they use. They talk to members of the management committee, members, staff, to make sure that it is a safe place for members of our community to be welcomed into.
Tell us about the biggest policy issue that governments need to make, in your opinion, in relation to older LGBTIQA plus people in housing. Is there a policy issue that you can think of?
The biggest issue is there is no policy. We're just not looked after. We're not acknowledged as being an at-risk group as far as housing goes. We just get lumped in with everybody else. And with the figures that I quoted earlier from our surveys, homelessness or risk of homelessness within our community is much stronger than in the heteronormative community. Last year at the Better Together conference in Adelaide, we actually did a workshop in regard to designing a LGBTQIA plus intergenerational housing project. The paper, the report from that workshop is due to be released soon. So it's a watch this space.
No clues?
Oh, things might get moving.
Oh, that's exciting.
The only clue I can do. Basically, it's coming out and a whole group of us on the reference group do want to push this further and push it into a reality. So that's a project that could possibly be coming up. I can't say it is, but it's possibly coming up, so long as we get support.
You do have drag bingo for housing justice next Thursday at Evie's Disco Diner on Gertrude Street. What can you tell us?
Ah, Miss Bobby Pin, the fantastic Miss Bobby Pin, will actually be running and doing the drag bingo event. It's going to be a fun night. It's not just for us older people. It's for any member of our community. It's a free event and there will be food supplied. However, you do need to actually register for it. And to register for it, there are a few flyers flying around the world. But if you don't have a flyer and want to come, it's from 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. at Evie's Diner and Disco, as you said. The registration link is at oldertenants.org.au.
Fantastic. Gary White from HAAG, Housing for the Aged Action Group. Thank you so much for joining us today on 3CR.
Thank you, James.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.